This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9.
Yes, you're in Urban Dreaming. Hello to everybody. Yes, this is Sarami on the mic.
This is Maddie.
It's Gal back again.
And we have two special guests in the studio tonight. One we'll keep you waiting for, and she's an amazing artist, I must say, and as well as our youth representation for Urban Dreaming. Maddie, what have we got in store tonight?
Oh, we've got a deadly show coming up. We've got we're going to have a little bit of a chat about Elijah Doughty and the protest for justice for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. We're going to go into coverage of that protest and have a little listen to a yarn you had with Mariki on that, and she's part of Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance. And then we are going to have a little bit of a chat to Marina, who's an emerging artist working on the Ballarat International Photo Biennale. So it is a massive show tonight.
Excellent. So, yeah, just so you know, guys, we have got an amazing show tonight, and I really hope you can all tune in until 9 o'clock this evening. The time is now 8:02, and we're going to play a song for you right now. This is Coloured Stone with Black Boy.
Black boy, black boy.
listening to Colourstone, Black Boy. What a beautiful song. And the fact that it mentions a young boy going off to boarding school in a big city really hits my heart, because that's something I've done. And I guess that's the whole aspect of urban dreaming. We're here and we're learning and we're carrying that traditional knowledge and spirituality with us. So how deadly.
It is deadly. And if you want to get in on the yarn with us, if you want to say hello to any of us in the studio or have a chat about what Black Boy might mean to you, then shoot us a text on 0427JOY949 or send us an email onair@joy.org.au. It would be deadly to yarn with you guys. So make sure that if you are listening that you send through to us.
Yes, it's very important you guys get in on the discussions, because without your voice, you know, we won't be basically urban dreaming without you. So our next guest is actually one of our youth representations for the men, and we had last week Jacinta O'Keefe, and now we've got young Ari Mazalong. How are you?
Oh yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Excellent. So Ari, knowing that you're going to be the youth representation of urban dreaming, basically the urban dreaming dream team, how do you feel?
I feel pretty good. I like the idea of representing youth, and especially in the Indigenous culture.
Excellent. So with your work, what have you done in regards to what you do on, because I know you do a lot of work with theatre.
I've just been dibble-dabbling at the moment, doing a bit of stage management and acting. I've just finished stage managing Chop Liver for Obidjary, which was directed by Kamara Bell-Wykes and written by Kamara Bell-Wykes.
And how was that experience? Because you performed it in jails.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was really intense. But yeah, no, it was really interesting. You know, we went to, I think all up, we had about 17 shows or something like that. Wow. We went to 5 prisons. We went to rehab, a couple of community centres, homeless centres. But yeah, no, it was really good. It was really inspiring and stuff.
And how did they respond to it?
Yeah. Really well, actually. Especially when we had like a black audience, we'd have like, it was just awesome, because like they'd give us the best response, and then you've got that whole relationship between performer and audience, and they just feed off each other and just makes it 10 times better. It was just awesome. Yeah.
Good.
So Ari, I always bring this up, but your mother's actually Rachel Mazza.
Yeah.
And she's a very strong, predominant actor in the industry. Growing up in the arts, like, has that just been a natural sort of foundation for you, or is it something that you've always just generally wanted to do anyway?
I guess it's a total mixture of the both. Like, it's all I've known, because my dad acts as well. And then, yeah, it's just, I've just fallen in between the two, and, yeah, I haven't really had an option, I guess. No, I'm joking. I haven't.
It's
an
in
option,
the genes. It's,
yeah,
in,
it's
the genes.
In the genes. And I love it all the same. It's what I enjoy, and it's what I believe in.
Excellent. Well, now that you're on the radio show with us, you can introduce, the next guest when we have them. Yeah? Feel keen to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. Awesome.
We just got a text message from BB, and he said, "Hello, you mob. Deadly song there. You are deadly, BB. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for taking the time to send us a little text message."
Thank you, BB. All right, guys, so I'm going to get Ari to introduce the next segment.
This is Urban Dreamy, and I'm Ari Long.
And let's get it right. You know, there's no refuge for Aboriginal people. There's no place for us to go to any of these courts in this country. We're never going to win there. The country's built on denying us and just perpetuating the status quo. And it's pretty brutal what they're doing to our kids, not just our youth. They provoke, they intimidate, they profile, they criminalise, and they institutionalise. Jackson Jail is a cash cow for this waste of society here. Yeah! And they keep us down. But they're not going to do it for too much longer, folks. We'll be here as long as it takes for justice. And start here today, folks. Today. Let's all start counting the days. Let's make the days count from now. No more genocide of Aboriginal people. And I'll just tell you something about genocide. It has a parallel called ecocide. Suicide and homicide. Now, this is a lawless country.
These people, the British Crown made it that way when they invaded it. Invaded the land. No treaty, no consent, no jurisdiction. Every Aboriginal person that dies prematurely in this country is a war crime.
Larry Wallace, elder of the Tunnerong. I don't want to die without seeing change. I'm already past the death rate as old people we normally die. I don't want to, by the time I die, hand this inheritance on to my children, my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. It's got to stop this generation, or it'll take another two generations. So by all means, express your anger, but by all means, please do not cause violence, because that's the proof they want. That's what the proof they want, so they can say what we do is justified. So I do not believe the Aboriginal will commit the violence, because last time we had a demo, it was white people trying to commit the violence, and we stopped them, because it was our demo, and we are, so we should keep that happening. We should try and keep peaceful as we are. We are allowed to express our anger, but Christ, it's got to stop. I don't want the next generation, and I don't want it to be that my kids have kids and one of their kids dies.
We are mourning three young deaths in July. Three young people under the age of 16. Where's the justice in that? No questions asked. No one cares. It seems no one cares. People are getting angry and people are getting sick. It's making us sick. It has to change. Those ones that care have to stand up and be heard and make sure that they are doing something about the situation rather than just towing the party line and understand what's going on. And there needs to be more information about what's going on. Like knowing in Victoria that we've got the highest imprisonment rates and they keep increasing. Our children's education is the worst it's ever been. Our children are being removed. 1,800 children right now in Victoria have been taken out of their homes, taken away from their families. That needs to be known. How can we live like that? So much pain all the time. At the end of the day, we Blackfellas go home still with the pain in our hearts and still, you know, wondering when we have to deal with the next death. We still have to deal with this day in, day out as Aboriginal people, and I just think we can come out and march, but if people don't start doing things in their own environments, then it won't change.
There is no justice for our people. When do we get justice? When do we have these courts and judicial systems, the Parliament House, the government, saying that our people's lives are human lives and that they are equal to our white counterparts? What this death represents is that hundreds and thousands of our Aboriginal youth that go unnamed, that remain silent in our justice system, that get ignored by our mainstream media. Today the police are hyper-vigilant, hyper-militarised. I don't understand why. This is a peaceful protest. And what our presence here today says, this is not okay. We stand in solidarity with Elijah. We stand in solidarity with our Wangathi Yamiji family in Kalgoorlie. We stand in solidarity with our Indigenous brothers and sisters who are dying in the criminal justice system. We stand in solidarity with our Aboriginal brothers and sisters who are continuing to be ignored and denied justice within the court systems and their rulings. Thank you.
So there you go. That was coverage on the Elijah Dowdy protest. And in on the phone right now we have Miriki Onus. Hello, Miriki.
How are you, Suri?
Hi, Miriki. So before we begin, we must announce basically you are a proud Gunai woman and Gunditj Mara woman, a strong advocate for the Aboriginal rights, particularly in the rights of Aboriginal women. So in Miriki's work, she supports the Indigenous survivors of family violence and works with communities affected by violence. And she is a strong community member and does a lot of strong community work, who is not afraid to speak her mind. She's an inaugural member of WAR, which is Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance. And it is a collective of young Aboriginal committed people to the resistance and revival of Aboriginal culture and the rights of Aboriginal people. So Miriki, one of the most... I guess, strongest women, I really think, in regards to Victorian representation. What are the pressures, I guess, in regards to being a founding member of such an organisation? I guess, what are the highs and lows of being in this field?
Well, I suppose there's a lot of highs and lows. You know, we've got no... Like, we're organising on next to nothing. It's just, you know, the goodwill of our allies and... the in-kind time of our volunteers and the members. The group's been going since 2015. And, yeah, I mean, there are plenty of highs and lows. We are trying to get out of the reactive politics where we're on the streets protesting things that we would like not to happen. But, yeah, so some of the highs, I suppose, are that we've been able to garner a lot of support in both Melbourne and Brisbane and... reignite the fire of resistance in our communities.
So, Miriki, just so you know, we've got a few other co-hosts with me in the studio. This is Matt.
Hi there.
There's Gal.
Hi.
And
hello.
Ari.
Hey there.
Hi.
So, yeah, just know that they'll be probably asking a few questions as we go on with this interview. But my other question to you is in regards to... I always find that when I go to protests, you know, we can't help. Obviously, our mob have been going through so much ongoing trauma for the last over 150 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to our venting through anger, how does that help when it comes to protests? And I guess, you know, that's a question as a general sort of message in contrast to what we know. But, you know, for those who don't understand the anger that we, our people, have gone through, can you explain a little bit more on that?
Yeah, like I think it's so complex and I think you really strip away our experience when you focus just on our anger because then, I mean, there's a whole conversation in between me existing and me feeling and me surviving and how I am today. And anger is just one component of everything that encompasses me as an Aboriginal woman. You know, I do come across very unapologetic and I don't, when I'm talking about Aboriginal genocide or when I'm talking about race politics, I say it exactly how it is and that can be viewed as angry sometimes, but we're experiencing a lot of pain and loss in our communities and I know that sounds like, you know, a lot of people are going through what they're going through, but honestly, when I speak to blackfellas after, for example, something like watching Dondale, what happened in Dondale and Elijah's verdict, there is like a collective sense of grief in our community. We can't, it's hard to function. Don't ask us how we are. It is so hard to exist right now. Literally, it is legal. Practically legal to murder an Aboriginal child in this country. To centre my reaction just around my reaction is missing so much more to that conversation. I mean, I think, and this tone policing, like my tone is justified in what our experience is and what we're talking about. Yeah. And I think the anger is very well placed.
Yeah, I think that is the case that we are absolutely in the place to be angry. And I think that what happens is that part of our voice is kind of not validated in that they don't sort of strip back from anger and go, well, what made us angry? What was that point. And I guess what I'd like to know is how do we move forward in raising our voice and having our voices heard in a way that sort of doesn't come off to the general public as just angry and obnoxious and loud. What can we do?
I think that mainstream media, I think if you, firstly, there's two things to that question. I don't care how I'm perceived by the dominant culture. I don't care. My only concern is how I'm perceived and how I'm accountable to my community. And if I have to tell the truth the way I do and that offends people that are not educated enough, then that's probably going to happen. But I'm not going to not say what I think needs to be said because some people are going to be offended. Because, you know, if taking offence to hearing the truth is what's fundamentally wrong in this country. I think this country has to come to terms with the history and why it is seen okay and why these systems won't press charges on, A, somebody that's been murdered in a family violence murder with what you see with Lynette Daly, or why it's okay for that no police has ever been convicted of manslaughter or for killing an Aboriginal person in prisons. Why is this okay? Let's ask that question. Why is it that when a 15-year-old boy is killed, his killer, his charges are downgraded from manslaughter to driving dangerously causing death? Why that? That's what I want to know. I'm angry about that. And we have to hold these systems accountable. And it has to be through strong campaigning. We have to look at what our journalists are doing. We need independent investigations to look into what is actually going on here. This is not an isolated incident with what happened to Elijah. A lot of people are getting killed in Kalgoorlie, whether it be through violence in the community, and it most certainly seems to be racially fueled, but police are not acting. And what seems, and why are these vigilante groups not talked about? Yet in comparison, we have to hear that Lynette Daly was drinking the day she was raped and murdered. Why is that evidence acceptable for Lynette's case, but we have to stress that kind of information out of Elijah's case? There is serious systemic racism happening here. And Aboriginal lives don't matter. And this is why we are angry. And sometimes you feel so powerless up against a system, an oppressive system that is killing our people, that protesting and shutting down a city is literally the only power that you have in this circumstance. We do obviously have more power. I think we need to organise as a community and get together and find out what our solutions are together, because it's not working what's happening.
I think it's really interesting in regards to what you're saying. You know, just it's not just in Kalgoorlie, it's all around Australia. These things are happening. You know, when is enough enough, and when's it going to stop? Unfortunately, ran out of time, Erica, but thank you so much for, you know, making time for us.
And sharing your voice. I mean, we've all really learned from it, and I'm here sitting in the studio just listening to what you said and also what Uncle Larry said in terms of...
Uncle Larry, yeah. He's
yeah, he, you know, we just we listened to a playback, and he said that express your anger, of course, but don't do it violently. And I think that's something we can all take home and all learn from.
We've never been violent.
Exactly.
Never had a protest. And I'm so tired of being painted as it.
Yeah.
It's like the police are the only people that are violent at our protests.
Yeah, exactly.
We need to ask the police to stop being violent to our people. And our reactions are justified. Yeah. And yes. I do agree with Uncle Larry.
People need to distinguish the difference too between anger and frustration
and passion and passion. So
yeah.
But thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having me, Mob.
No worries.
Thank you.
All the best. See ya.
Yes, bye. You're an Urban Dreaming, guys, and that was Miriki Onus, the founding member of WAR. That's the Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance. All right, guys, stay tuned. It's 8:28. We'll be back with our special guest.
This is Natano from Chasing Smoke, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Running around still, serving it. man protecting white man like a dog with no leash. I'm drunk off what you sold me, yeah, it's motherfuck the police. Now we say Black Lives Matter, but shit, the fact of matter is we just Black Matter to them. This shit keep happening. Let me hear your oh my, oh my. Let me hear your oh my, oh my. This one right here for Elijah. Kalgoorlie, raise your lighters and watch that motherfucker burn down with the murderous liars. He killed a 14-year-old and it's still no hear, no see, no. I feel that there will be no justice ever for my people. So what you finna do, huh? They running this shit with one in the clip. When the government's all in it, the Royal Commission ain't shit. And man, I'm scared of getting popped by a motherfucking cop, bro. There's one for York, there's one for Hickey. Next, it could be our sock. Now we say Black Lives Matter, but shit, the fact of matter is we just Black Matter to them. This shit keep happening.
Still suffering, still want no justice.
17-year-old TJ Hickey was impaled on a fence at Waterloo after coming off his bike in 2004. His death sparked a riot, leaving more than 40 police officers injured. A coroner found TJ's death was a freak accident and there was no evidence of a police pursuit. The Hickey family and supporters maintain he was chased to his death.
Enough is enough. We have done nothing wrong.
Been a long campaign, no one is planning on giving up.
This war's been going too long, my tired hands can't hold on. Please someone take me home, please someone.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! Black Lives
Matter! Black Lives Matter! We say Black Lives Matter, but shit, the fact of matter is we just Black Matter.
Yes, you heard the birds there with the song Black Lives Matter. So in reference to that song, that was going back to Elijah. Respect to him, and you know, hopefully we listen and observe more and understand the acknowledgement and understandings of cultural understandings.
So in the studio right now, and bear with me on this name, we have Bonini Benali, and I believe that's both Aboriginal and Italian.
It's Marina Bonini.
Marina Bonini. Before I do your bio, do you want to tell us a little bit about your name origination? Where does that come from?
Yeah, no worries. So my first name, Marina, spelled M-O-O-R-I-N-A, it's actually a name given to me by my mother, which is an Aboriginal name meaning the first night star, in the morning sky, and white cockatoo, and originates from up north. And then Bonini being my Italian name. So it's kind of like a representation of my rich cultural heritage.
It's a beautiful combination. Yeah. And so just about you, so you're a proud Yorta Yorta woman and member of the Dulanyangan clan. Her works are inspired by her own experiences as an Aboriginal Italian woman, creating work that examines ideas surrounding everyday racism, stereotypes and identity through an introspective account of lived experience and the constant questions that are hurled in everyday slurs that question her identity. Bonini is an emerging artist that works predominantly within the realms of video art, photography and installations, and utilises her contemporary practice as a platform to focus on Aboriginal culture. And I believe you have some work installed at the Ballarat Tull exhibition that's happening.
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm lucky enough to be in the International Ballarat Photo Biennale 2017. So the Biennale, it actually opens on the 19th of August, so this month. And Tull itself, it's an exhibition that involves contemporary Indigenous photographers unbound by convention. So essentially it's the bringing together new commissioned work and recent works by both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists. So it's very exciting. So it specifically explores photographic technologies and techniques where we will utilise our art as a platform to tell our own stories and articulate our experiences of life as Indigenous people.
It sounds great. And I'm actually going to get down and take the 1 hour and 50 minute train ride to Ballarat.
It'll be so worth it, yeah. I promise.
So what particular work do you have installed?
Yeah, no worries. So in this particular work, I will have six pigment photographic prints, accompanied by three installation pieces.
And what are they? Is there a certain theme to your collection, or are they all individually different? Or
yeah, so the photographic prints themselves are actually biographical self portraits, where I've actually used photography as a tool to respond.
And was that on a timer when you take a self portrait, or someone else clicking the button? What's the secret?
So the secret is you can have different variations of doing it, but I felt it was really special to get one of my brothers to come in and take the photos, because for me, making the art, the process, post-production, it's really being part of it. And I thought it was a bit too difficult doing all the technology.
Yeah, and to have family there who have also experienced similar things, I guess, brings it all
exactly
together.
Yeah. So having my brother controlling it, and essentially me being in front of the camera, which is very daunting.
Yeah.
'Cause I've never had to be in front of it before. But yeah, this particular series, it's about personal experiences that I've encountered as a young Aboriginal woman about my identity and my cultural identity. So whether that be about stereotypes, perceptions, questions and statements that I've had to actually come into contact with and answer, that this is what this work is. It's responding to those things.
Beautiful. And you mentioned something briefly before we entered the studio about going back to country and having some of your work inspired by that country aspect and being on land. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my Aboriginal culture has a massive influence on my art practice. And just recently, like you were saying, I've been going back up to country, up to Yorta Yorta land, and just making work on the land, on my ancestral land.
So you're doing the artwork actually at home.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And actually within the Biennale, I'm going to have ochre that I actually got from my land that will be
Was it on the banks of the Murray, or where did you find it?
No, it was part of my family's ochre mine that it's kind of in the bush, so only we know about it. And just going there and getting the ochre itself was such an incredible spiritual experience.
Yeah.
And being able to incorporate that into my art, I feel like it's really special to have that connection to land.
Marina, in regards to, you know, I guess the title Emerging Artist, see, I actually don't believe it. I don't believe in someone emerging. I think they naturally are one to begin with. I guess what's inspiration? Is it through dreams that you have these inspirations, or do you actually see something and then basically just create it? Or what's your process?
Yeah, good question. So I've always had a bit of an interest in arts and since I was a little girl, and it's just evolved from different mediums, so from painting to photography to now to video and installation. And the influences, like you were saying, it's my environment, and it's my own influences being my family, specifically my mum and my aunties and uncles, and hearing their stories, both good and bad, that they've experienced being Aboriginal themselves and their cultural identity. And I look around myself now in this contemporary environment that I live in, and I see things that I don't like, and then I see things I do like, and then it's these influences that I incorporate into my work, because I see my work as a platform for myself to be able to explore these ideas and themes that I want to bring focus to, essentially.
And there's a really great, amazing list of artists that you actually are collaborating with.
And was it 17? Were there 17 other Aboriginal artists?
Yeah,
there's actually one specific that I was just blown away by, because, you know, we know his work really well. That's Warwick Thornton.
Yeah, that's right. We like we were saying a bit earlier, they're emerging. There's international, national artists, all very incredible artists, very, very inspiring.
Cool. We'll be right back, guys, with Marina Bonini. Bonini. That's the...
yeah, Bonini.
That's the white cockatoo. Is that correct?
No, no. So my Marina. First name is White Cockatoo.
Yeah, White Cockatoo, and she's an Italian dancer. Joking. She's an artist.
Hey, this is Joe Williams, former NRL player, professional boxer, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Stay deadly with Urban Dreaming.
Yes, you are on Joy Urban Dreaming, and... basically, we've just been having a conversation with Marina Bonini. So, Marina is actually a part of the Ballarat International Photo Biennale. How's that you say, guys? Biennale. Yeah, something like that.
How did you get your work in there? Because it's pretty prestigious, right?
Yeah, no. Lucky enough, I'm actually pretty good friends with Jessica Clark, the curator for the Biennale this year. And she's actually been able to have a look at my progress and my practice for the last year and a half. And she thought that my work would fit in quite well with it, which I'm very lucky to have been chosen to be.
Yeah, Marina's just being modest. I've seen a little bit of her work and it's sensational. So she got in there because she's an incredible artist. And I'm really interested in knowing, you're a multidisciplinary artist. What's your favourite medium to work with?
Oh, good question. So I've always been a photographer. That's my main medium there. So I'm always going to go back to it. But as of late, I've really been dipping a finger into video art. I just can't seem to stray away from it. There's just something so special about it, so we'll see how that one goes.
Is that short films or just small video clips, or what is it?
No, so I've been getting into multi-channel video art, so I've been creating installation in video. So if you think of if you see an exhibition and they have you walk into a room, they have three screens of such,
right, yep.
But all the movies kind of connect somehow, whether that be in like a theme or a colour or something. So having multiple screens but having different videos.
And are you inspired by a particular Indigenous artists with that, because it's
Yeah, there are a few. Tracy Moffat being one. Yep. Tracy Moffat being a big one.
Yeah.
Destiny Deacon. And then photographic wise, James Tyler, he's up there. Just so many artists, so many incredible artists.
So that's pretty massive then, that your work is in the Biennale alongside some of your some of those incredible artists that you aspire to be like.
Maddie, it's pronounced Biennale.
Yeah, no, it actually is. I can't stop smiling. You can probably see it now. Every time I think of it, I just blush a little bit because it is pretty big. So, yeah, no, it's very exciting.
And is your art the way that you sort of stay strong with your culture? I mean, obviously, Urban Dreaming, it's about us living in a metropolitan built-up environment and how we all connect to our homelands. We're all from different places across this land. And you were talking about going home and having a real cultural connection. Mm-hmm. Is it bringing your work back here and working on it here that keeps that connection happening? Or
yeah, I definitely think so. Just being able to make work in general about my culture and my heritage, I just get a strength from it, like you said. It's just something so powerful and that I can connect with. And it really gets, you know, the happiness levels up there. But being able to make work both on and off country, I think it's just, it's something really special and that I really love and enjoy. Yeah, who I am, really.
And how often do you get the chance to mix your cultures, the Indigenous culture and the Italian? Do you have, like, kangaroo tortellini?
Spaghetti. Or kangaroo meatballs.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Don't give her ideas.
Yeah, no.
That's copyright right there.
Yeah, so that's something I definitely will want to explore in the future. It's something that's been sitting in the back of my mind, just stemming there, like how the two cultures, I guess, are similar but so different. And essentially, those are the two cultures. That's who I am. Mm. So there is
lots of yarns, lots of food.
Yeah, lots of
all
yarns.
All these aunties and uncles and cousins.
Yep, family reunions, food. Yeah, gotta love it. The best two things.
And you can really see the appearance on you as well, the Italian and the Aboriginal mix. And to carry that in front of, I guess, everyday crowds, it's a really interesting aspect, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. I often get asked what my heritage is. Yeah. And it's always one of the first things that someone that doesn't really know me asks. So they're always surprised when they get the answers. So.
I found that when I first moved to Melbourne, the question was always, what's your nasho? What do you mean? What's your,
yeah.
What's your nationality?
I'm an Aboriginal singer. I guess there's that anagram in regards to what we speak of and who we are. There's, you know, the I think, like, you know, you have a coffee and you add milk to it, it's still coffee, isn't it?
Exactly.
So
no such thing as percentages necessarily. No.
Yeah,
no.
And you look around this room, you see the diversity here as well, you know.
Yeah, it's the 50 Shades of Black we talk about.
Exactly.
And one Gutia, of course.
Our resident Gutia without a microphone.
Say later, Chris. How are you, Chris? Luckily, we didn't give him a microphone. All right, thank you so much for your time, Marina.
No,
it's
my
pleasure.
It's
been amazing to get a bit more insight into this actual photo biennale.
Yeah, and if the listeners out there did want to check out your art, do you have a website or anything you would like to share?
Website is in the running, I promise. Okay. But I do have an art Instagram page, so hit me up on Instagram. It's Marina B. Yeah, chuck some likes around, but yeah, I'd love to know what you think.
I also did stalk your facey, so you may as well tell them what your facey page is.
Yeah, yep. So that's Marina Benigni Photography. But otherwise, thank you, you mob, for having me. It's so good.
Great. Thank you. Looking forward to seeing your work. And in regards to film, I guess there's this Raw initiative which is happening quite well, actually, is happening right now with Leah Purcell and Wayne Blair, and they're looking to mentor the new generation of Indigenous filmmakers with a TV pilot as the final outcome. So if you're the ages of between 18 to 35, you can apply for RAW, which is the new initiative, and this will develop skills through the production of a TV pilot that will be pitched to Australia's ABC. Yes, the initiative is backed by industry, celebrated Leah Purcell and Wayne Blair as the mentors and executive producers. So for more information on that, you can inquire on the interview's requests, and that's through Matt Fraser at Matt at Cardinal Spin. That's Matt at cardinalspin.com.au. All right, guys. You're on Urban Dreaming. This is the last show of this grid, just so you know. And so this is our second grid for the year. And I've been lucky enough to be able to continue this, which is awesome. And it's only up to, you know, the fact that you guys have been supporting us on this. And I really can't thank you enough, knowing that you guys are behind us. And I've just, since the very first show, I'm just freaking out, actually, because I did the show by myself, and then I got on with Ben Miscellaneous. And then Miscellaneous from there grew into this dream team.
Now there's 947 people sitting in the studio, not enough microphones, not enough headphones.
I love it. It's actually beautiful to see.
All the black fella want to yarn.
Yeah, I'm just having a little moment, guys. I'm being very nostalgic. But yeah, just good to see new members as well. And Ari's here, and you know, even though he's been quiet, I know he's listening intently to everything that's going on and observing and
taking. There's been so much happening, I've been taking it all in.
That's great, and I know you will, because you're like that. You're very observant, and that's why we chose you. And Maddie, in regards to the grid, because I know you're going away, you're going on a holiday, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a bit. I mean, I'm excited about going away, but I also really enjoy talking to you mob out there. And so, being away for a couple of weeks is going to be pretty sad. But I'm going away to do some education in theatre with Ilbidri Theatre Company for a few weeks, going and teaching in schools in regional Victoria, all about totem animals and identity and all sorts of things.
Is that with Kamar Bell White?
Yeah. So we kick off on Monday. So, I mean, absolutely we need your support, and we love to hear from you guys out there. We did just get another text message in that just said incredible coverage of the protest, heartbreaking and infuriating. And it is, and it's it shows like Urban Dreaming that allow us to kind of talk about those issues. So if you do want to chat with us anymore, give us an SMS on 0427JOY949 or join us on this yarn at onair@joy.org.au. I'd love to hear from you in the next 7 minutes before I go away for a few weeks.
You've got 7 minutes. Countdown.
And I heard there was this performance happening down at Fed Square, the Lean Pete Ween.
Yes.
And with Gal and Sarami?
That's it. In the mic, thanks.
Yeah.
So basically, the installation is written, not written, it's created by Vicky Cousins, a strong, proud Gunditjmara woman. And she's actually got this installation which happens every year at the Fed Square in regards to fire, campfire. Yes.
It's been running for over 7 years now, hasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to basically perform it last year and be able to dance in the fireplace. And I've been asked again. And so looking forward to that one. That's on the 5th of August at the Fed Square.
For those who don't know much about it, the fire symbolises the burning strength of tradition and knowledge and this urban lifestyle as well. And it actually burns continuously.
Yes.
So I'm working there and my job is to feed it with logs and make sure it doesn't go out.
And otherwise you're also doing a poem.
I am. So I'm really looking forward to that. And there are going to be some amazing artists, Indigenous artists. So if everybody came down and checked it out at Federation Square, the opening night is this Saturday. So it'd be amazing to get heaps of people down. It's a really good cultural exchange and learning platform. Yep.
So we have to wrap up, guys, unfortunately. But until then, let's just have a quick little announcement. We've got to make sure that we mention Triple Bypass. You guys are awesome, as always.
Yeah, you're back on Urban Dreaming, and we are just about to say goodbye to you guys. It's 8:56 p.m. It has been a deadly show. We've had some fantastic guests on. I'm filled with so much love for this mob here. So many things are happening in our world over the next few days, so make sure you check all that out. There's the Tell exhibition that's coming up in a few weeks' time. There's the thing at Fed Square, lots and lots of stuff. So this is goodbye from me, from Maddie, for the night.
And this is goodbye from Gal.
And this is goodbye from Ari.
And this is goodbye from Sarami. Take care, guys, and hopefully tune in for next week.
You have been listening to Urban Dreaming with your hosts, Sue Rummy and Miss Elanius, a show that aims to bridge the gap and close the divide. You can stay up to date by adding us on your Facebook and download the podcast from joy.org.au. Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.